Today we are doing a halacha shir slash hashgacha shir, and it goes as follows. The second parasha that we read this week, Emir to Hashem, is parashas Kedoshim. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem alokechem, that you should be kadosh, the Rabbonu Shlom is kadosh. And the question is, what exactly does Kedusha mean? And there are different perushim, obviously, in the Rishonim. Rashi understands that kedoshim tiyu means you should be prushim min ha'arayos min ha'avera. According to Rashi, the idea of kedusha is a hemsheikh of parashas achrimos, which means that kedusha means separating yourself from arayos. That's Rashi's notion of Kedusha. The Ramban's notion of Kedusha famously is that you should not be a novel versus HaTorah. You shouldn't be what Rabbi Meiselman calls a minimalist and say, I'm going to do only that which halacha absolutely requires, nothing more, anything that is mutter, I'm going to go for it. That is permitted on some level, but it's not a kiyum of Kedusha. Kedusha means that you should go above and beyond, not be a novel versus HaTorah. Don't do those things which people will view as that you're being a glutton, like you're being a, someone who's engaging in pleasure. That's novel versus HaTorah. So that's the idea of Kedusha according to Rashi, and the idea of Kedusha according to the Ramban. However, many Mefarshim understand Kedusha very differently. And I think their Perush emerges more from the flow of the Psukim and Parashas Kedusha. Right? Remember, according to Rashi, Kedusha is defined as being someone who doesn't engage in Arayos, which is the Hemsheikh of Parashas Achrimos, right? The end of Achrimos teaches the Arayos, and there Kedusha means don't do Arayos. However, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, and I'll show you a Sefarno in a few minutes, we understand that Kedusha means adherence and attention to the details in many mitzvahs. When the Torah says Kedoshim Tiyu, what the Torah is telling me is keep all the details of mitzvahs. That's what Kedusha is. Kedusha is someone who's meticulous, careful, focused on particulars, not just the person who bigadol, I love God, I do like godly stuff, I feel spiritual. That's not really Kedusha. Kedusha involves like knowing how you mix your oatmeal on Shabbos. Like, Kedusha means details in halacha. That's what Rav David Tzvi Hoffman says, and the Hemsheikh HaPsukim seems to lead to that, because right after Kedoshim Tiyu, we get all these details, and they seem to be totally and thoroughly random. Don't worship idols. When you bring a carbon, you eat it that day, and the next day, don't violate Nosar, right, and etc. And then you give Leket Shechita and Peah, and then don't steal, and don't lie, and et cetera, et cetera, and don't swear falsely, et cetera, et cetera. That is the idea of Kedusha. It's, I'd say, according to Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, almost random details. The Sefarno takes the Mahalach, which I want to focus on today, and kind of segue from the Sefarno into Lefnei Iver. The Sefarno takes the approach that Kedusha means not just all mitzvahs and attention to detail in all mitzvahs, but particularly these mitzvahs that the Torah enumerates as being a parashas kedoshim. These are the mitzvahs of Kedusha, in the sense that one who fails to do these mitzvahs is creating a chalal Hashem. I don't know. This is on tape, so I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but I don't know if someone who mixes their oatmeal wrong on Shabbos is creating a Chilul Hashem by any standard. I don't think so. I think, however, the mitzvahs in Kedoshim, the mitzvahs that our parsha talks about, and the Sefarno says this beferish, these are the mitzvahs of if you fail to do it, you are mechal shem shamayim. Ish imo v'av tirov shabsoi se tishmaru. If you fail kibra v'aim, you don't honor your parent appropriately. So people will look at you and they'll, that's a chal Hashem, right? The Gemara in Yuma says that if a person acts benachas and mabrios, a person acts appropriately, so they're going to say, Ashrei oviv shalim doi taira, Ashrei rabbi shalim doi taira, no? The idea is that when we do, when we fail to do kibur ava'im or mura ava'im appropriately, that creates a chol Hashem. When we don't keep Shabbos, Shabbos is such an essential mitzvah. It's such a defining mitzvah for Klal Yisrael. Again, I'm not sure if we're talking about the teeny details in Shabbos or we're talking about Shabbos begadol. But the Gemara certainly says that someone is not Meshomer Shabbos. It's ki'ilu their kofar be'ikar, no? The person has the status of a mummer. So these are also mitzvahs of Chilul Hashem. And the Sefarno goes on, Al tifnu el ha'elilim, b'lohim ha'seichel otasu lachem. Right? If a person doesn't own, if a person, this isn't full-fledged avodah zarah, but it's a chol Hashem. Al tifnu el ha'elilim. The person, right, is enticed after the avodah zarah. The person turns to them. Right? That means, according to many, you look at artwork. Right? Where is it? Shabbos kufnun av, kufnun beis. Al tifnu el ha'elilim. Right? Sounds like there's a prohibition to turn towards avodah zarah, not in the sense of worship, but it's a chol Hashem anyway, because what you're doing is you're being mechal shem shamayim. You're admiring Christian art, Christian music. That's al tifnu el ha'elilim, according to that Gemara. Elohim Masechel Tassel Chanim, just finished the Pasuk, Eli. You make an avodah zarah. Your job is, right, you hang a sign on the store, right? Yanko Shmero Getchgemacher. That's your job. You're a Getchgemacher. You make avodah zarahs, no? You're not actually worshiping, right? But nonetheless, that's considered Ichol Hashem. All of the averes in this week's parasha, or the mitzvahs in this week's parasha, are the types of things up this far now, that fulfillment of them could be a kiddush Hashem, failure to fulfill could be a cholol Hashem, and we'll develop this idea further after Ellie's question.
Yeah, just on before, we said that if someone makes their oatmeal wrong.
Yeah, and then it says Shamsel say Tishmoru. Yeah.
Like, we're not sure how that's a Chol Hashem. So like, why would it not be? I think there's a passage somewhere in Sefer Devarim that says, like, all the mitzvahs, and then the guy can look at us and say, like, wow, they're
okay, I'm chacham enough on Hagoi.
But like, once it's 6:12, so then it's.
I think there's a few things to say. First of all, I misspoke when I said if you make oatmeal properly, it's not a chol Hashem.
Right? The Torah over here,
if I make oatmeal improperly, I misspoke and I said it's not chol Hashem. The Torah says a shabsos haytishmor is part of the chol Hashem thing. What I'm trying to get at though is that not every single avera can. On one level, yes. On one level, of any time, if I do 6:12, not 6:13, like you said it, that's a chol Hashem. But on the other hand, I'd say that certain averas are more of a chol Hashem. An avera that's public, an avera that's an affront to people, that hurts their humanity, that insults them, etc. Those averas are more of a chol Hashem. And even within averes that are purely religious, I think there are certain averes Again, in the sense of if Chol Hashem reflects what Umos HaOlam think of us or the like, there's certain averis which are more public. Certain averis which are more well known as being core to what it means to be a Yid. And those averis, I'd say, are more Chol Hashem-like. Is that point clear to you? Like, Shmirah Shabbos is more core to the essence of a Jew. Therefore, it's more Chol Hashem-like. So what are part of the mitzvahs that are in the Chol Hashem realm, Kiddush Hashem realm, Chol Hashem realm? Zot b'sefarno. Right, we should follow the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to do tzedakah and mishpat. Part of tzedakah is you take care of the poor. Right, that's like a chachan peya. Since I'm your God, my path is of the spurn of chesed and emes. Therefore, you should do tzedakah. Right? It's a Kiddush Hashem type of idea. Justice between other people. Leitignaifu, leitichachashu, leitishakru. You lie, you steal, you cheat. Right? These are, you lie, you steal, you cheat. These are isurim that can create a tremendous Chol Hashem. Lo tishavu bishmila shoker. Right? There's the Mefarshim say that a Shavua is that you take HaKadosh Baruch Hu ke'ilu as an aid. I'm saying I'm not going to eat potato chips. Right? That's a neder. Potato chips are asur on me. If I take a Shavua, I'm saying I am not going to eat potato chips. And I am ki'ilu bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam as an aid that I won't eat potato chips. No? Once I'm bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam as an aid that I'm not going to eat potato chips, if I eat the potato chips, that is a Chol Hashem. Right? And that's why the Torah says, let's yishav b'shmila shaker v'chilat Hashem lokecha. If you swear falsely, right, that's a disgrace to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Lo yinaka Hashem isa sheyisa eshmala shov. If you swear falsely, that's mechalal shem Hashem. Lo tashog esreyachav lo sigzo. Lo salam pula sochi ritvad boker. All these averas, zot the Sefarno, each of these is considered a Chol Hashem. Right, again, and the idea of Chol Hashem being so prominent is because it's Parshas Kedoshim. We're trying to make Kiddush Hashem, and the opposite of a Kiddush Hashem is a Chol Hashem. Lo sekalo cheresh, v'lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. This is the pasuk I'm going to talk about. V'yareisam elokecha ani Hashem. If a person takes the cheresh, and the cheresh is the unfortunate person who is deaf, who's not going to know when you're insulting him or her and putting him or her down and cursing him or her out, no? If you do that, what's everyone going to say? You abuse power. You hurt those who are unfortunate. That's a Chol Hashem. Agreed? That's what the Sfarno writes. I'm not making this up. Lifnei iver lo tite michshol. Zok the Sefarno. You're not mazik biyadayim, but you're a goreim of nezek. That's a Chol Hashem. Meaning, if people know that you are the type of person who might not want to actively use your little Yom HaAtzmaut with bopper hammer and get the people on their head, but you're going to create a situation that they're going to suffer. You'll create the situation. You'll be goring. Right? That's a Chol Hashem. You set up a situation that people lose tremendous amounts of money. No? Bernie Madoff died. You create that type of situation. Right? That's a tremendous Chol Hashem. Right? The idea of Lotikalo Cheresh And lifni evil osite michshol, zuk besferno, both of these are a chelek of chilul Hashem. Now, what does this mean that lifni iver is a chelek of chilul Hashem? What does that mean? So, it goes as like that the lifni iver, the way the Torah says it, could have three different understandings. There is the one understanding that is found nowhere in Chazal, which is called Pshuto Shel Mikra understanding. Lifnei Iver Lo Titei Michshol, I put a stumbling block and the guy trips. No? It's slapstick humor. It's the funny type of 1950s, whatever. It's the cartoons. No? Isn't it like so funny in the cartoons when the Roadrunner, like, who is he? Right? They like always get in, like they always end up like being blown up, like or something like that. And it's ha ha ha, so funny, so funny, so funny. Right? I'm creating a situation that they suffer. Right? I'm putting a stumbling block in front of them. Ha ha ha, you end up just like stepping on that little thing of dynamite. Right? So that's lifnei iver lo titein michshol in the sense of the physical stumbling block. Nowhere is that found in Chazal, but clearly that's going to be a chilul Hashem. I think that's understandable. Now, whether the perish of lifnei iver involves the physical stumbling block or not, you know, the Minchas Chinuch famously mentioned Reish Lamed Beis is bothered. How come nowhere in Chazal do I see the physical stumbling block idea? And the Minchas Chinuch knows that we don't agree with it, la halacha. There's a famous comment of the Meshech Chochmah, however, where the Meshech Chochmah points out that maybe a lifnei iver lo titei michshol in the sense of putting a physical stumbling block, maybe that is the source of the Isser l'hazik. You know, you learn all of Bava Kama, and there are Arba Avos Nezikin, right? It's funny, right? Our Masechta is kind of big. We have 39 of us. Bava Kama is a little bit smaller. There's only 4 of us in Bava Kama. Right? We have 35 more, according to advanced mathematics. But...
Huh?
He's the math guy.
Yeah, right? Advanced mathematics.
But here's the part. The Minchas Chinuch says you don't violate any Aveira Min HaTorah if you put a physical stumbling block. It might be you're in violation of an Isser Netaychecha of Orer Mashger Iver Badorech. Maybe that's the pshat. But there's no lav beferish, right? Lufni Iver, Zok the Minchas Chinuch, does not mean do not put a stumbling block. It means the other two perushim that we'll focus on in a few minutes. The Meshech Chochmah says, no, lifnei iver means don't put a physical stumbling block. And therefore, that is the source of the Isser L'Hazak. The first stipler in Bava Kama has a lengthy discussion that you learn all of Bava Kama, that if I damage, I have to pay, but vushdate, that I'm not allowed to damage. Where in Mesechus Bava Kama does it say, I can't do it? There is a line in Bava Basra Chavav that Gerom ben Nezakin is Usser. But where is the Isser in the Chumash? Where does it say in the Torah not to be a mazik? Zok the Meshech Chochmah, our pasuk, lifnei iver lo titei michshol. If I put that stumbling block and the guy trips and he has that Bugs Bunny or woodpecker moment, right? And he ends up like with all the black ash all over his face, right? That is an Isser in the Torah, lifnei iver lo titei michshol. Now, obviously, Chazal don't understand lifnei iver this way. Chazal understand lifnei iver in two other ways. Either not to give an eitza she'eina hogenes, not to give bad advice, or lifnei iver lo titei michshol, according to the Gemara, means don't give somebody a chapza of aveira, don't give a kos yayin l'nozir or Avraham Nachayel ben Noach. But why is it that Chazal ignore the pshat of not literally placing a stumbling block? Why is it the Chazal don't say it? Again, the Minchas Chinuch says it's not true at all. The Meshech Chachma says, yeah, of course, the Pshuto Shel Mikra is true, and that's the Isra Lahazek. But Me'iza Sibashahi, Chazal don't understand Lifnei Iver in that physical stumbling block way. Why not? So there's a number of Perushim that are found, mostly in the Mefarshim on Rashi over here. They have this sefer, it's called Mikros Gedolos, with Yud Aleph Perushim on Rashi. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We have it in the back of the Beis Medrash, right? Very interesting work. Like a lot, people wrote Perushim on Rashi. So some of the Mefarshim say that there's a difference in Hebrew between the word Lo Titein and the word Tasim. Titein means I give you something, you take it. Tasim means I put it there. Were the Torah to be talking about the actual physical stumbling block that I place in front of someone, the Torah should use the word tasim. The fact that the Torah uses the word titain indicates that someone is receiving it. That could be pshat. Although the Nitziv in his commentary Hamek Dover on Chumash, the Nitziv has a different perush, but the Rebbeinu Shalom says Komachla, right? What is it? Lo Yisimam Bach when the son and Bechos on Echa, right? What does the Torah says? Lo Yisimam Bach when the son Bechos on Echa. Komadve something, I don't remember. Okay, right. That's what the Torah says. Thank you. It's good to have a Baal Kori. Right, like, so then it says, right, so what's the difference between Yisimam and the Sanam? What's the difference between Sima and the Sina? So he quotes a Gemara in Menachos on Nun Zayin, where the Gemara says, Lo Yasim Aleha Shemen, Lo Yitain Aleha Levona. Any tiny amount of Shemen passels, I think about Menachos Nun Zayin, but Levona only if you have a significant amount. You need a Kazayis to passel. So it could be that the word nesina as opposed to sima means a lot versus a little, and it does not mean what we're saying, what some of the Mefarshim and Rashi over here say, say the Wadarach, I really don't know who they are, but some of the Mefarshim and Rashi say that lasim means to just put it there, and litain means put it so he receives it. So that's one pshat. Another pshat is that it can't mean putting a stumbling block, because the Torah says, V'yareisam elokecha ani Hashem. V'yareisam elokecha means, right, Rashi tells me 1,000 times, davar hamasar l'alev, something that you could always have a plausible way out, right? I could always say, you know what, I told you to buy GameStop, and I really thought it's a good stock. I thought it's a good investment. Right? Those types of dinim via resam elokecha, dinim that are not abundantly evident. If I put a stumbling block in front of you, I walk over, I put it down. In most cases, when you put the stumbling block, it's going to be very noticeable. No? The guy who's watching the cartoon knows exactly what's going to happen to Bugs Bunny or to the Roadrunner. No? It's very clear. So if it's clear, so then V'yareisa me'olkecha maybe doesn't apply. There are other explanations. It could be that Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol means that you shouldn't do it, but if someone else did it, you have no chiyuv to remove it. If you go and you put a stumbling block in front, outside, you put something there, do I have a chiyuv to remove it? You bet your bottom dollar, of course I have a chiyuv to remove it, no?
So like those like blocks over there.
So again, so like what we saw when we learned Daf Mem Aleph in the Ran, right? Certain things that are noticeable are cold. You don't have to worry that they're gonna, right? There's a difference between the big kites and the gacheles, right?
Everything comes back to the gacheles.
What's like the gacheles?
Everything this year comes back to the gacheles.
Everything comes back
to the gacheles. Every sugya.
Yeah, we love that sugya. It's unbelievable, right? But the word is what the Ran over there was saying is that there's a difference between notice to, he was called the Baha Itor, who was it? That if something is mamish noticeable with kulayama, so of course you don't have to remove it. But when it's something that's a little bit, you know, that's not noticeable, and people could trip over, so of course you have a chiv to remove it. So, lefnei yivrei lo titei machshol, it sounds like you shouldn't do it, but other people have a chiv, do not have a chiv to remove it. Therefore, we're not talking about an actual stumbling block. Because our massive,
so
is
there...
people
have a chiv too? If it's bad advice,
other
people have a chiyot to advise well. I mean,
so,
you take away the bad advice.
So, yesh la'ayin, if that's correct. I'm not sure. If I know that you give advice, I mean, there might be a... Do I have a chiyot? I'm not sure. Probably. You're saying it's very reasonable that there is a chiyot.
I mean,
if I you know that Reuven is telling Shimon to buy GameStop. Right? I'm not sure if you have a chiyuv to remove it in the sense of, can you rely on the fact that Shimon is a smart enough fellow to know not to buy it? Or that Shimon should make his own decisions and inquire with it? If someone asks me, I have a chiyuv to tell them the truth. But do I have a chiyuv to intercede in your conversation? Again, I think there's a certain logic to it that you would have the chiyuv. So that goes against this parish I'm saying. I don't know. That's what I just called the parish of the Be'er Basoda on Rashi over here. Sometime now, this question as to whether there is lifnei iver if you put a physical stumbling block is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ra'avad. No, everything comes back to Rambam and Ra'avad. Kochos Talmud Torah Perek Vav. So the Rambam gives us a list. It's not exactly clear where this list comes from, but there are 24 dvarim that a person does them is chayiv nidli. No? 24 things. Al esrim v'arba dvarim menadim es ha'odom. Bein ish, bein isha. Anybody gets nidli. Among that list, number 17, zok the Rambam, is hamachshil es ha'iver. Zok the Ra'avad, kigon hamachyas b'nai katan. The Bach in Simin Shin Lamed Daled says, what exactly is Machlokes Rambam and Ra'avad? The Rambam says, Hamach Shelas Ha'iver. The Ra'avad says, Kigon, that you hit B'no Katan. You get an impression, the fact that the Ra'avad is jumping up and down, is that the Ra'avad is saying, I disagree with the Rambam. What's the Machlokes? So the, what's it called? The Bach Tainas and Machlokas is our Hakira. When the Rambam says Hamach Shelas Ha'iver, what the Rambam means is that you actually place a stumbling block. The Ra'avad disagrees. The Ra'avad says Kigoin, that you are Makib and Ogadol. Though the Gemara in Moed Kutin says, I'm not supposed to hit my older kid because the kid's going to hit back. And I'll be in violation, or the kid might hit back. That's the lashon the kid might hit back, and I'll be in violation of lifnei iver because I'm causing my kid to violate the iser of hitting a parent. Rav Volbi writes that bizman hazeh, it's not proper to hit any. The Gemara only speaks about makib b'no gadol. No, Rav Volbi in his sefer Zriyo Binyan B'chinuch writes that you should not hit any children today. There's been a huge change in how you educate children over, I'd say, the last, I don't know, 50 years, 70 years. I mean, I don't think anyone of you have ever had a Rebbe who hit kids, right? It's kind of going out of style, and that's a good thing. I remember as a kid growing up, I don't think he meant it, but in the principal's office, there was a big thing that said board of education. It was a board. And if you were bored of education, supposedly the principal would hit you with that board because you're bored of education. I don't think this is looked fondly upon as a pedagogical method today.
I thought I saw one in the base measures.
Uh-huh. Speak softly and carry a big board. Right. I don't know. But here's the part. Makas ben Godel, the Ravid says, Kigoin. That's the Isser of Ne'ivar. Meaning, according to the Ravid, perhaps the Isser is not placing a physical stumbling block. That's the way the Bach says it. The Isser, according to the Ravid, is what's it called? This, according to the Ravid, is an Isser of Lifnei Iver in the sense of Averus. If you hit your kid, so then the kid might hit you back. You're being machshel, the person in an Avera. So one type of Lifnei Iver that we spoke about is the Lifnei Iver of actual hitting. There's another type of Lifnei Iver in the Torah, in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim understand that this is the Iker HaIsser of Lifnei Iver. Others assume that this is like a secondary Isser of Lifnei Iver. According to the Rambam, this is the Iker Isser. The Rambam writes the Iker Isser of Lifnei Iver is to give an Eitzah She'en HaHogenes. The Smag says the Iker Isser of Lifnei Iver is to be Machshel someone in an Aveira. Both Perushim seem to be the Perushim HaMekubalim among the Rishonim, as opposed to putting a physical stumbling block. Eitzah She'en HaHogenes, I give bad advice. Now, it's interesting to note that the Sefer says don't give bad advice. Rashi al HaTorah quotes this Isser of giving bad advice. Rashi al HaTorah writes, where's my Rashi? Zok Rashi. The Isser is not to get lifnei iver lo titein bechshel. Zok Rashi, the Isser is lifnei hasuma bedavar lo titein eitzah she'en hogenes lo. Al toma mechor sodcha v'kach lo chamar. Right, don't tell the guy sow your field, etc. According to Rashi over here, the Isser of lifnei iver means bad advice. But Rashi in Parshas Bahar, also in Chumash Vayikra, Rashi in Parshas Bahar on the pasuk of lo tonu ish es amito, Rashi writes, don't give bad advice. Right? Shelo yaknet es chavero, velo yasi enu eitza she'ena hogenes lo. Right? So how come Rashi has giving bad advice in two places in Chumash? How come lufni ibrelo sitting mirshol means giving bad advice? And lo tonu ish es amiso means giving bad advice. How come Rashi needs to tell to us twice? So Rabbi Ochanan Adler, who is one of our Rashi Yeshiva here, he has a sefer called Asher Chanan. His name is Ochanan Asher, so sefer is called Asher Chanan. And he has the following idea. You know, there's a famous hakira of the sefer Yad Malachi. The Yad Malachi asks, with respect to Lifnei Iver of Averis, if I give you a kais, you're a nozer, and I give you a kais yayin, I give you Eiver Menachai. So what happens in those cases? Do I violate the Isser if I give it to you, even if you don't drink it? Or do I only violate the Isser if I give it to you and you drink it? Now that's the famous hakira of the Yad Malachi. The Yad Malachi actually says that the Gemara that we referred to a couple of minutes ago, that you're not supposed to hit your kid over bar mitzvah, the Lashon HaGemara is the kid might hit you back. Meaning, even if the kid doesn't hit me back, I violate an Isser, because I'm giving the kid the opportunity to do an Aveira. Giving an opportunity to do an Aveira is like giving a Kais Yayin. Even if he doesn't drink it, I violate lo lifnei iver lo sitei mechshol. The Stapler points out that the Stapler has a few nice essays about Lifnei Iver at the beginning of the Sefer Nevo Dezara. The Stapler points out that Lifnei Iver, in terms of giving, the Stapler points out that some of the Rishonim have a lashon shalom litain, right, not to give the item, and some Rishonim have the lashon shalom lahachshil, And that's totally in the chakir of the Yad Malachi. Is the iser of Lifnei Iver to give the chatzah shaveira, or is the iser of Lifnei Iver only if the guy uses the chatzah shaveira, eats the chatzah shaveira, as it were? Well, what about by Eitzah She'eino Higenes? When I give you bad advice, let's say I tell you, buy GameStop, but you don't listen to me because you follow the news, and you know this whole GameStop thing is like a bubble that's going to burst, mamish, right? The whole GameStop thing, it was like fueled by Reddit or something. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
They don't follow it so much. You guys, Baruch Hashem, you're very busy in college. You don't have the time to follow this stuff. I give you bad advice, you don't listen to the bad advice. Am I in violation of the Isser? So Rabbi Adler maintains that maybe those are the two different psukim. If I give you bad advice, I might be in violation of causing you aggravation. Right? That's lo tonu. That's onda'a. Lo tonu isha samiso. If you walk over to me and you say, you know, you ask me a question and I give you advice that's bad advice, you're going to be offended. You're going to be like, hey, why is he doing that? Even if you don't take the advice, but it's going to cause you aggravation. That might be lo tonu isha samiso. However, if the bad advice is taken, so then it's lefnei iver l'sitei mitchel, according to one side in the Yad Malachi. Basically, what Rabbi Adler does is he maintains that the iser, the chakira of the Yad Malachi regarding lefnei iver of an aveira is relevant also for lefnei iver is giving bad advice. So what's the point that we're getting at? The point that we're getting at is, I think, that there is a chilul Hashem that is caused when you know that somebody is not being really fully honest and someone is out to hurt other people. If people know that you are a practical joker and you like try to be the Bugs Bunny of this planet and you put those stumbling blocks, ha 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 ha, right? That is a real chilul Hashem aveira. In the sense of titein michshol, the physical michshol. Giving bad advice, right? That could be lifnei iver also in the chol Hashem sort of way. Both in the sense of if I give bad advice and I aggravate you, people are going to say, what type of bum is this? That he's giving the type of advice that others get hurt. Or the type of advice that you're not going to actually get hurt, but it could potentially hurt you. What type of bum does that? And these averes are part of the kadoshim to you, because to be a kadosh means, at the bare minimum, not to be a chol hashemnek. The basic lesson I'm trying to get at, I think, is there are different levels of kedusha. Some communities emphasize Kedusha in the sense of be prushim and harayis. Others emphasize Kedusha in the Ramban sense, striving for higher and higher madregas. But I think there's a bare, basic level of Kedusha called don't make a chalal Hashem. Right? We should tell this to everybody in smicha. Never get in the newspaper. Certainly never get in the New York Post. To get in the New York Times, maybe you could get there occasionally for doing a maila, something good. Like, you never wanna, that's a chol Hashem. Don't get in the newspapers, right? Basic kedoshim to you means don't be a chol Hashem neck. That's the basic idea that I'm trying to bring out. And Zayge Bank, have a great day and have a wonderful Shabbos and don't make a chol Hashem.